This is a HeadGum Original.
One of my biggest complaints in any song is that in the song Earl Had to Die, you guys are familiar with Earl Had to Die, the Dixie Chicks hit.
Yes.
Love that song.
Sure.
Yeah. So, no.
Hate Earl.
Wow. Hate so, Earl. Love the song.
When Great Wanda song. Is abused, her friend gets on a red-eye flight from Atlanta to go back and be with her friend. Hmm. But when you think about red-eye flights, red-eye flights only fly in one direction. And that's east. You fly east so you can sleep overnight. What's east of Atlanta? The whole song is taking place in France.
The Dixie Chicks have been French this whole time.
They mucked up the air travel aspect of it, and it takes me out of the whole song. Now I don't even believe Earl is bad.
I think the Dixie Chicks are French, but that explains why their business of selling Tennessee ham is such a hit at the end of the song. Right. French people would like pay top dollar for a ham made in a different country.
Wait, I'm forgetting what happened in the song. Is it a fried green tomatoes thing? Is Earl the ham?
It is a fried green tomato. No, Earl is not in the ham a la fried green tomatoes, but he is. I think he's dumped in a lake. It's not explicit.
That is a spicy take.
Yeah, that's why we're here. This hottest takes.
That was a fucking burn, dude. That was lava.
I hope the chicks never hear that part of the podcast, honestly.
You'd be fucked.
Natalie Maines, plug your ears.
Let's punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up.
Welcome back to another week of Punch Up the Jam, the podcast where we listen to the greatest songs ever, and then somehow, inextricably, unexpectedly, we make them better every week. I guess it's not that unexpected anymore because we do it every week.
We're making the impossible possible every single week. And if we flouted the very name of our own podcast, that'd be rude. That would just be rude.
I'm one of your hosts, Andrew Gregory.
And I'm the other host and Andrew's brother, Evan Gregory.
And we are doing a song this week. Evan very subtly teased it there. Rude by Magic. That was a fan suggestion. You saw this come in, right, Evan?
Yeah. We're hungry for it. Just fly right into our DMs, suggest the song, get in our at replies, suggest a song. We keep a running list, and sometimes a fan will just nail it with a song that was both a huge hit and dumb.
Yeah, I will say some fans are really bad at doing this. If you send us a song, make sure it's a song that we possibly could have heard of. We get a lot of fan suggestions that are just like, let's just say they're not the greatest hits.
The 10th track off of this 80s indie band.
But this is one of the biggest hits ever. This is a big hit.
This is one that, this is a 2 billion view YouTube video, Rude by Magic. Number one hit, year end Billboard charts.
It was decade end, Evan. This is one of the biggest hits of the decade.
What?
When Billboard made their little, like, 2010 to 2019 chart. This is on it. And we're joined this week by the Wolves of Glendale.
Welcome to the show, Wolves of Glendale. We are joined by Tom, Ethan, and Eric, the three wolves of Glendale. This is a band that writes songs that manage to not only be extremely funny, but also very catchy. You will enjoy listening to this music in addition to laughing at it. But we're really excited to have them on the show because they're about to go out on some dates. You can catch these guys soon at the New York Comedy Festival. You can see them opening for Jukebox the Ghost at the end of October. Tom, Ethan, and Eric, welcome to the show.
What's up,
guys?
What up? Thank you for that lovely intro. Very kind.
You're so welcome. You've done us a huge favor by bringing your musical insight and your perspectives as humans that were alive at the time that this song came out. Mm-hmm. So we're really appreciative that you would come here and help us do this important and culture-changing work.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And the fans are welcome, who I assume also not just requested this song, but have been requesting us probably really aggressively.
Yeah, your DMs are full of Wolves of Glendale. Wolves of Glendale, get them on.
But like, here we are. Specifically to talk about Rude.
Right. Everyone wants to hear us talk about Rude, and here we are. We're finally going to do it.
Yeah, when the song Rude came up, they knew there was only one guest that really could walk through it, and it's not a single person. It's actually three men that are members of one band.
Three hard boys.
Three hard boys in their 30s.
Yeah. Three rude guys. Three rude 30-year-olds.
Three rude boys.
Dude, we love Scott. We're going to be so rude to this song. I will say, you know, I don't want to get straight into it without, I don't want to be too soft on my endorsement of Wolves of Glendale. So I'm just going to say the song that really brought me into your fan base is when I saw you in a video, not in person because I came to it late, but I saw a video of you guys performing at the Rockwood Music Hall in downtown New York, a venue that's near and dear to my heart, and you sang this song about living with a ghost called Olivia that both sounded like it could have been penned by Hall & Oates, or maybe like, it's a very funny song, so maybe penned by Alan Oates. It just sounded tight as hell and also really made me LOL. So that's my personal recommendation is Olivia by Wolves of Glendale. I don't want to go too soft and just like tell the fans like, these guys are funny. I roll in with specifics.
That was a very hard. That was a hard recommendation.
Yeah.
That was hard AF, and you'll be happy to know that's also going to be our first single. We're cooking up a music video for Olivia. So by your request, everything's about fan requests today. And so by your request, that song's coming at you in full format, recorded format.
Honestly, I love to hear that.
That recommendation was so strong, frankly I'm concerned that other guests will hear it, previous guests, and be dismayed that their recommendation was so soft, and future guests will demand that their introduction be that good.
You said I went too hard and I'm hurting people in the future.
In the future and
no,
the past.
No. Yes. You went just hard enough. We're all a couple of hard boys here and I appreciate it.
Yeah, you have to come at us hard in order to equate our energy. And also we're three people. So you gotta go three times as hard as you would a normal guest.
Yeah. Super hard. I don't think the band Magic would even describe themselves as a ska band.
You don't think so?
No.
Don't you think that they would say this is reggae? This is the sound of reggae that has invaded our pop charts once again in the same Marazian style that Bruno Mars snuck the Lazy Song into the charts. That's a 2 billion view video.
I love Bruno Mars.
Yeah, the Jason Mraz, the Jason Mraz influence cast a long shadow straight into the Lazy Song.
This is not too long after Soul Sister by Train. Right, with like the ukulele, kind of like island.
But just like reggae is not a fixture on the charts, but every couple years, a bro reggae song will sneak in.
It's like a prophecy.
We can thank Red Wine for that.
Yes! Red Wine, perfect example of like they're just covering an old ballad and doing a reggae spin on it, and they just sold it to white people.
Yeah,
and the 11 Love Song. It's like every 8 years.
There's a cycle. Yeah, the American public can only accept a small percentage of reggae on the charts.
But when it hits, it hits.
And this also means we're due right around now because Rude was 2015, 2014-ish.
I feel like this cycle is getting tighter and tighter because in like a 5-year period, you have Soul Sister, you have Lazy Song by Bruno Mars, and you have this. Like, and when the cycle comes down to zero, that's like a time bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, you reach the reggae singularity.
We're zero. The reggae singularity.
We could be approaching the reggae singularity.
Andrew, would you mind? You know, would you mind just sort of setting the table for us a little bit? Because this is a really, really big version of a one-hit wonder. We don't know anything. Like Magic, the band has not been able to hit other than Rude. So people generally will not know anything about them, like they do know about, say, Bruno Mars or whatever. Would you hit us with just like a little table of song facts?
Song facts. Song facts.
You gotta add a bass slap onto the end of the song facts. You need button. I think you know, just to really springboard me off. Off the song facts. You can do it. Yeah, you can do that manually. You don't have to edit that in.
Andrew hates my
I hate the bass sound effects.
What? Something awesome. Morally.
Yeah, I request much more of that actually over the next 30 minutes.
Fuck yeah. When is that bad?
I love how short it is.
But if you can put those two sounds together, Evan, you know, one might say, give me two.
Yeah, let's try it.
Maybe
Utah! Give me two.
You know?
Facts.
And yes, nice. Now it works.
I will edit it into the right key, and then it's going to be really tasty.
Three things that I hate and make one thing that I like.
That is an important point break drop.
Thank you.
There's a little place on the corner. Break. Sells meatball subs.
I want meatball two. Subs. Utah.
Eric, that's a savage impression.
So I knew that this
Eric,
was...
are you juicy for Busey?
Of course I am.
Okay.
Let's go catch the ex-presidents.
So here's, I mean, for anyone who claims to be juicy for Busey, I have a single litmus test, which have you watched the movie Hyder in the House, starring Michael McKean and Mimi Rogers?
I love Michael McKean.
Where they're building a house, and Gary Busey has just been released from a psychiatric hospital and sneaks into the house and
It's a little bit too close to home.
He builds a little room.
Too true to life.
Yeah, it's too true to life for Eric. You shouldn't watch it.
Damn.
He lives in their house, comes down at night, drinks their orange juice.
So while they're building the house, he sneaks in and makes himself his own little secret room. So they don't know he lives inside their own house.
I think it's the greatest.
That. Like a parasite situation.
Yeah. Very parasite.
It's the greatest Busey performance, but I think it hasn't really caught on in the pop culture because it's not quotable because he's always sneaking. He's just walking around the house bearing his huge Busey in teeth.
Anything. If you want to quote the movie the same way that you would like quote Anchorman or Old School or something, if you want to quote the movie Hyder in the House, it's really just a silent move where you make your face go like this. For those trying to imagine
to Cinema Club list. We actually do have the Wolves of Glendale Cinema Club.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Right.
Can
now
the fans
it's just three
follow
members.
Along?
It's us. It's really just us right now, but maybe at some point we'll make it public.
Largely because I have seen an embarrassingly little number of films. Like, we just watched Kill Bill Part 1 and 2 this week for the first time. I'd never seen either of them.
Yeah. Well, sure. If you're watching good movies, don't put Hyder on the House on the list.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'll watch that just with Eric wasting time and Tom's doing something important.
So, I knew something. This was like a major one-hit wonder, and one of the things that really drove it home for me in the most depressing of all ways, I was clicking around their YouTube channel, and I was like, okay, this is a 2 billion view video, and then their next couple singles are getting like one of them gets 100 million views. That's a lot. But then all their singles since then are getting in like the single to 10 million view kind of.
It really matters which one is on the autoplay after the first song.
Yeah, that's a big difference. So I was clicking around their Wikipedia article and I got to their latest album. And this is the saddest thing for me. No one had written a Wikipedia article about their latest album.
Oh,
there's
wow.
such a one and wonder that they tailed off so much that everyone was just like, yeah, we don't. We wrote one for their second album, Primary Colors, but this latest one, we're not going to write about. Their drummer left the band or was kicked out. I'm not sure which. And it's like the only record of it is like there's the weird, like very vague Facebook post where they just post a picture of the three of them.
A vague book. So there's there's no interview with Rolling Stone or whatever.
Of magic. Yeah, no one but I was like, oh, there must be I guess I agree that this is saying the drummer's out of the group, but it's not totally clear. I'll go check the Rolling Stone news article about, you know, Eric Tanas, the drummer, for Rude leaving. Like, no.
There is no media.
No one wrote
about
an article after Rude was released. But the thing that blew my mind a little bit that I had no idea about with Rude, Evan, is that we were talking about the Lazy song just a couple weeks ago with Bruno Mars. Not dissimilar to Bruno Mars, Nasri, the lead singer of Magic, was a hit writer before this song came out.
The man has written
almost 10 top 40 hits. Before Rude,
the singer,
which makes it confusing as to why they never had another hit.
Yes, you're churning out hits. He's writing hits for Bieber. He's writing hits for New Kids on the Block for their comeback. He's writing hits for Chris Brown. He won a Grammy for one of Chris Brown's records.
He had a Grammy pre-Magic.
Wow. Yeah. Like when they came out, that's like the one thing I sort of knew about them was like, this guy's the next Sia, you know? Mm. But
yeah. Because he can write and he really can't sing. You know, he's belting it out.
And this was like his hobby band. I watched this interview that he did with Canadian TV and they were like, man, like, Rude, did you ever expect to be this big? And he gave a remarkably and refreshingly frank answer, I think, from someone who's had the perspective of like going into the studio with Chris Brown and Justin Bieber, he was just like, no. Like, I saw this as being like a boutique rock song that it was like a very industry answer. You know, and like he was in his 30s when he did this, when he wrote this. He's already had like this successful career as a hit writer. And he's like, no, I kind of saw this as a boutique rock song that maybe would have, like, maybe could get some airplay on college radio, but like, I'd never expect to be a number one hit on the Billboard chart.
Wow.
And I agree. I would never expect it to be a number one hit on the Billboard chart.
It does feel like a college radio hit.
Yeah, it does feel like a college radio hit that should be in like a reboot of American Pie. This would be a great song to hit the top of the chart for college radio and then have someone hear it and be like, you know what? We should reboot the American Pie franchise just to put this in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say, like, formulaically speaking, I think that when you're combining a few of these elements, which are like really catchy, poppy song, then you have like the storyline, which is like very easy to follow, very basic mm-hmm. storyline, and a love story that involves a wedding or marriage or proposal.
High stakes, yeah.
That to me is like, ooh, you're getting close to the core here. This is radioactive stuff. This could explode.
Yeah.
Because everybody loves that, like, always.
And much like Bruno Mars and other artists of that ilk, like, if you, having played a million weddings as a drummer, if you can get in the wedding playlist for a band to play, your song fucking blew up. Mm. Like, that's how you know the mark of a big song. And so I think writing a song about a wedding
right.
and asking for your daughter's hand in marriage, I've played that song Rude at a lot of weddings before.
You have played this song Rude at weddings. Yeah.
Which is interesting because it's a song about the dad
saying no.
A dick, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tom. It's not about, it doesn't arrive at the wedding. It arrives at screaming about manners.
Right.
Right.
And can I say also, I listened to the tune, you know, before the pod, of course.
Sure.
And that's the main thing that stuck out to me, what you just said, Evan, which is like, I don't think the dad's being rude. I don't think the song should be called Rude.
No. Exactly right. Of course. That's exactly right.
Being rude is like if you're at the movie theater and you're telling people to move their feet so that you can go into the row and you're like, hey, move your fucking feet. That's rude. There's that no rude. Need to do that. You can just say, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But like if you're asking for my daughter's hand in marriage and I tell you no, that's not a rude thing. You just haven't impressed me. Yeah, I don't think you're right for my daughter. Right.
This is above rude. This situation.
Yeah. Honesty.
Transcends rude. Yeah. Call it honesty.
Honesty. By
why you gotta brutal be honesty, so yeah. honest?
Yeah. Truth hurts, man. Ethan, thank you for saying it. That take to me is not even that hot because it's just so real. Just right down the middle. That's exactly the right assessment of this song. What is rude here? Yeah, it sucks to ask the question and then be told
he's
no.
He's being vulnerable.
Like, have you guys, are you, any of you guys married?
No. I'm engaged, though.
Ethan's engaged.
Turn up. Congrats. Oh, so you recently, let's hear your proposal story. It's very relevant.
I don't care about the proposal.
Oh, no.
I don't care about the proposal. I want to know, did you ask your father-in-law if you could have your fiance's hand in marriage?
Did you ask for permission?
I did.
You did?
I did, yes. She is Kazakh. She's from Kazakhstan. And so it was very, you know, they're very rooted in their traditions and culture. And I knew that that was part of it. And so I had to do that. And I was really nervous for that. And
for
you know,
one
I
second,
love
when
playing.
You said that they're very rooted in their culture, I thought you said Kazakhs are very rude. And I was like, huh, he's bringing it back to the title.
We had about one syllable's worth of suspense about where you were going.
Rude people.
Yeah, yeah. I
recall you asked him in a movie theater, right? You said, can you move your fucking feet? Can I also marry your daughter?
Or is he in LA?
Maverick.
Or was this like over FaceTime?
No, it was in person. I asked them in person. They were in the States at
shot
the time.
Him a text.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yo, sup, doggy?
Are you up?
But here, I guess.
How did it go? Don't leave us in suspense.
Oh, it went great. Honestly, it was awesome. I got approval from the dad, the mom, and her brother. I asked them all together. I wanted it to be kind of like a group approval, just in case anyone wanted to say no.
But
then the others could bring him over to your side.
But your fiance knew this was going to happen in advance. You weren't.
I knew what
your fiance knew. You were going to ask her family.
She knew I was going to ask. She didn't know when or how I was going to ask.
Yeah,
and I had to find a time when she wasn't around.
Yeah,
because I don't know. That felt appropriate. I guess.
I guess that's my point. Is that when you're proposing, if you decide that this is part of your proposal culture, your proposal strategy to ask your wife's fathers. It's like lawyers say when you're cross-examining a witness. You never ask a question that you don't know how the person's going to answer it. You don't just fly in. You don't That's wake smart. Up on a Saturday morning Correct. And think, like, maybe today's the
right,
day.
Today could be.
I'm going to ask my girlfriend's dad for her hand in marriage. You have to have
and
a plan
like
to have
Eric
her
Nasri
alone.
Did. Like,
yes. Yes. He's just flying out of bed on a Saturday morning, had some great, like Saturday morning sex, and was like, let's knock this down.
Can we all agree
vacation.
Then? That's pretty rude.
Yes, it's rude. He didn't plan ahead. This needs to be like on a family vacation where he and her dad are like happen to be like walking on the beach or something, talking about life with the big L. You know,
there's no evidence in the song that he and the dad have broed down.
Yeah.
Right.
No, absolutely. They have nothing in common.
You got to take that guy on a fishing trip, brother.
Yeah.
Okay,
I have a feeling they definitely haven't hung out one-on-one based on the first 30 seconds of the tune.
I mean, he knocks on the door. They don't even get in the house. He's asking him at the threshold of his house.
Yeah, I think he thinks that he would be impressed by his intensity and his candor. It's like, I love your daughter so much.
And I put on a suit before I got here. I dressed well.
Right. And the dad's like, no,
not enough.
Yeah, he's approaching it more like he's approaching the prospective girlfriend in a romantic comedy. He's like out there with the boombox from Say Anything, like, please, let me marry your daughter, and thinking that the surprise will add up to romance.
He's thinking he's brash coming into the dad. The dad is thinking,
he definitely has like borderline personality disorder or something.
The dad is like, this guy's knocking my door. This guy's pretty rude. The dad 100% thinks that.
The dad is cool. This guy's rude, and you're right. Probably has either some mental problems or, you know, he's addicted to a substance or something. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
This guy made some bad decisions.
Yeah, he's good bipolar. Personal friends with Chris Brown. I know for a fact this guy won a Grammy with Chris Brown.
Yeah, so let's do that.
That's
with
sus.
We don't want to get into damning assessments based on people's questionable friends, but it does. It raises a question. It does raise a question.
Yep. Now, that's a statement.
I think we have sufficient background and table setting to get into the song here. We're just going to play the song bit by bit so we can really take apart what's happening, because you're exactly right. Like, the ingredients are there. One of those key ingredients is this narrative. The song is telling a story. It's painting a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday morning, right into it.
Put on my best suit. Got in my car.
I mean, what does this guy's best suit look like?
Yeah.
You know, this guy's best
How
suit.
How many suits does he have also?
Yeah.
Well, he's a guy, he's got to have a worst suit.
He has his best one, which means he has a couple shitty ones.
Have you guys seen the video, right? It's a huge video. 2 billion views. You know, many, many people have seen the video multiple times. So can we take... This is not one of those videos where, like, oh, it's a love song, and then they went to make the video, and it's just, like, pictures of the band performing, and then, like, vignettes of them on roll, like, something completely different, you know? The video is clearly depicting the story of the songs. So can we accept that the video is canon in the world of the song? That's the question I'm putting to you.
Yeah, in the magic cinematic universe.
Exactly.
The MCU.
The MCU.
But there's an exclamation point in there between the M, the C,
MCU.
And the U.
Yeah.
M.
Right.
The band name, for those that don't recall, has an exclamation point baked in.
Yes.
Just, you know, sidebar, when you're naming your band in this day and age, you got to do the SEO. You have to Google your prospective band name first. There is no way that the band name Magic is ever coming up first.
Very smart.
I will say this. I Googled Magic Band, and it brings you to Disney Park access that you can wear on your wrist.
Yes. Even if you Google Magic Band, you don't get there. Awesome. It sucks.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
They had one night of incredible sex, and they were like probably on shrooms or Molly or something. It was like, ooh, we got to get married. And then the woman was like, you gotta ask him for my father's hand. It's so important. It's traditional.
And that actually.
And then they drove. He marched his ass right up to the house.
And he didn't even march. He said he literally rolled out of bed. He said, I guess I can fucking do this today.
She was probably in the bed from the morning after. He goes, all right, let's go.
And that makes
sandals is over.
That checks out as to why he thinks the dad is being rude, because it's like, I'm tired. I just got up. I was working all night, if you know what I'm saying. And I don't want to be doing this. I have to do this.
I love you so much.
You're going to tell me no on top of it?
It also explains why he's singing to the dad in reggae, because he just came back from Sandals, and he's like, exactly. who wouldn't like reggae? Yeah. You spent the week at Sandals. You're just like,
it's reggae.
Right. That island vibe. I just want to bring it back to Toronto.
Everybody knows the best Sandals is in Montego, you've created another layer of intrigue here, which is that Sandals is indisputably a resort for couples. So in order to meet there, they would have had to have already been there on couples vacation with someone else.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that about Sandals.
Oh, so they're cheaters.
Love so that. This is both like a heartbreak kid type scenario potentially where
maybe it was more of a hedonism too.
Could have been a hedonism resort. Yeah.
Yeah.
Singles only. Yeah. But I think you've definitely hit on something where like the relationship is undercooked here. Yeah. I don't think they really haven't arrived. They shouldn't be getting engaged. But we finally made it in the song to the first, frankly, is like, yes, it's telling the story, but like it's a little bit filler to just get to this pre-chorus in which the question is asked.
Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, cause I need to know. You say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die. Tough luck, my friend, but the answer is no.
The answer is no.
Now, one thing I will say that really puts the video in the M exclamation point CU universe for me, mm-hmm. or makes it canon,
yeah.
is the dad lip syncs those lines.
In the video.
Just like yeah. the cheesiest music video way possible. Like they cut to the dad who's just like this very like, they've got like this very normal 55 looking wasp to just like, he's lip-syncing like a fish, as if he's talking.
Now, if I may, I think I'm going to go back on something I said as we're listening to the song.
Yeah, please.
I'm realizing
it's great.
Well, first of all, the song
it's
song
a rock. It's not being ruled. It's certified fire.
However, the
That's
dad doesn't.
Fire.
It is totally fire certifiable, but dad doesn't just say no. He says, you'll never get my blessing until the day I die, which is sort of threatening this dude to kill him.
I wasn't thinking about it like that.
To the day I die. Maybe if you want my daughter, we got to have a fight to the death.
Yeah. You can totally have my daughter's hand in marriage if you kill me, if you can kill me.
How good are you with a sword?
You're right. My bro. It's very Wild West, synonymous with over my dead body.
Yeah. This is not a soft no that's like, hey, I really like you,
I
want to see you in a career, not a job before, you know.
Right.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly.
Well, also, I mean, this guy's coming in super hot. So sometimes you got to match that energy.
Oh, it's okay. Like,
I just banged your daughter last night at Hedonism 2. I marched my ass up here. Can I have her for the rest of my life?
Oh, also, my boys are here.
My boys are here. I brought all my friends. And he's like, oh, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. Unless you kill me, it's on.
Unless you kill me, it's a no from me.
Yeah, he's saying, I have seen everything I need to see from you, young man. You will never get my blessing till the day I die.
Right. But he also respects the game.
Yeah, I'm going to give, so far, where we're at in the song, I'm going to give, what's the lead singer's name?
Eric Nasri.
Nasri. I'm going to give Nasri like a 6.5 on the rude scale. I'm giving the dad like a 2. I think the dad is matching his energy.
The voice of reason.
He's being reasonable, exactly. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And he's being, if I may, a chump.
I basically hate this song, but I don't want to just be completely one-sided. I'm willing to accept and give credit where credit is due, that like the song is catchy as hell. Like it doesn't work on the top 40 if they didn't absolutely nail the melody. And this pre-chorus is when it like really starts to come to focus. Jams right in your ear. It's so good. And they moved, like, we talked about the reggae vibes a lot, but like the drummer here is kind of stepping out of reggae. What's the drummer's name? He's like
Eric Tanas.
He's basically nailing it. He's killing the game here, and he steps out of reggae a little bit to do like somewhere in between a rock and EDM kind of build up. Mm-hmm. Like kind of like giving a lift to the whole thing. That just like puts you in the spot, and that's why you forget for 1 minute that the lyrics are so absolutely silly, but then you can't forget because you arrive at the chorus.
The drumming on this song rules. I was wrong about the guy's name. The guy's name is Alex Tanas, but the drumming is so good that I looked up the guy, I was like, man, who's their drummer? And that's when I found out they kicked him out of the group. It was like, oh man, that part of the song I can really get behind. Not the rest of it, but the drumming. And like, that's what led me to the vague book post of the three of the others of them like lying in an open field saying like the future of magic. Like, what? Where's Alex, guys?
Yeah.
Alex got vaccinated. We can't have him in the band.
That's absolutely what happened.
The bad look.
Oh, Eric. Why you gotta be so rude? Don't you know I'm human too? Why you gotta be so rude? I'm gonna marry you anyway. Marry that girl. Marry you anyway. This is why it worked. This is why there was that's why there was a moment for this song, is because you can listen to that hook and just be like, this is catchy. It puts me in my spot. You could have this on at the party. Everybody's vibing to it. That's why this song can happen.
The song is a bait shop.
Meaning it's riddled with worms?
Hooks.
It also
earworms, exactly.
It also reminds me of
never
Sebastian the Crab's song Little Mermaid. Doesn't it have that? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Kiss the girl?
Kiss the girl.
The girl.
Is that the song?
More like
yes, you want her. Is that Sebastian the Crab though?
Yeah,
I know that one.
He's got two bangers in that movie, Under the Sea and Kiss the Girl. Yeah. Really, just Sebastian vehicles.
Is Sebastian a crab or is he a lobster?
But I drew him a little lobstery, but he's a sweet little succulent crab.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think
well, anyway, I don't know why it reminded me of that for some reason.
Upbeat, kind of fun reggae vibe.
Yeah. But good call on the EDM thing, because normally EDM is bum, 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 and yep. Marry that girl. It's just slower.
That's
so
true.
They understand top 40, but they're doing it in the reggae cinematic universe.
Yeah, they
but
took a few of those devices, stuck it in here, and it's absolutely working musically.
R.I.P. Alex, because he's just crushing on this song.
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah.
And the break respect. Before the first chorus is always a top 40 move.
Right.
Boom. Do I get it?
Yeah. And it's like a little double. It's basically two choruses cut in half and like shoved together.
You're right. There's like two separate musical ideas happening in the chorus. Why you gotta be so rude? And we might even call this the post chorus, but it is still part of the hook. Marry her anyway to marry that girl. And that all just distracts you from the lyrical content, which is imagine, just step it back two steps and imagine he poses this question: can I have a daughter for the rest of my life? Oh, say yes. Oh, because I need to know. Please, sir. Please, oh, say yes. And the guy's like, tough luck, my friend. But the answer is no. You've reached a pivotal moment. Like, maybe the window is still cracked, even though he gave such a vicious no, you know, over my dead body. What is the response that could happen in that moment? Thank you, sir. I will work for the rest of my life to make sure that we could have a relationship and I can deserve to be in this family.
Or you know? I'll kill you.
But instead, what does he do in
pistols
that pivotal moment? Oh! God! Oh, gee! Why you gotta be so rude? Stomps off.
And then just says he's gonna do it anyway.
I'm going to marry her anyway.
It doesn't matter what you say. I'm going
to
do it.
Another rude thing to do, by the way.
No, honestly, before the chorus.
Narcissist rude.
On your adjusted rude scale, you had Nasri at a 6.5 and the dad at a 2.
Mm-hmm.
After the chorus, when he's just been told he can't marry the daughter and he's like, I'm going to marry her anyway. Where's your adjusted rude scale for the dad and Nasri, Ethan?
Nasri is just cranked up. I'm putting this guy at like a 9.8. To marry someone's daughter right after they tell you no and not do what Evan was saying, which is like the least you can do, which is like, oh, you know what then? Let me postpone this marriage for a week or two. I'm a young man.
Let me show you what I can do.
Why don't I take you to the local theme park and we can have some funnel cake and we can do the game with the water gun and I will win you over, sir. I will show you I'm a normal boy. But instead to just go and, oh, we're just going to get married. Fuck you. I want to burn this bridge.
What he's doing is projecting. Because he's saying the dad is rude, but nothing can be more ruder than what he's doing.
Correct.
Classic songwriting problem. We see a lot of that on Punch Up the Jam. You are doing the thing I'm seeing.
The song is revealing Nasser to be rude, and the amazing thing is that he himself has said, he's never been married. He has a long time girlfriend who he met.
You're talking about in real life?
Okay. He's a long time girlfriend he has a kid with who he met because he produced songs for her. She's a German girl group star.
Okay.
He'd never been married. Maybe it's because her dad said no. I'm not sure. I don't know. My research didn't go that deep. But this song is based, he said, on a previous relationship, not on any real interaction with a father. Like, that's all made up. Mm-hmm. But just basically, he said, I was in a point in this relationship where we were just really rude to each other all the time and fighting all the time. That was my inspiration for this song. He's like, wait, you were being rude all the time, so you wrote a song about how someone else was being rude to you.
Yeah, that scans. That makes a lot of sense.
That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, it's a major projection on his part of who's being rude to who.
Interlude, palate cleansing interlude here.
I hate to do this, you leave no choice. Can't live without her. Love me or hate me, we will be boys.
Yeah.
Standing at that altar. Oh, we will run away.
Sick harmonies, I'm here for it.
Gotta say, you know she's in love with me.
Problematic in a lot of ways.
I have two things to say. First of all, you always have a choice, even if one of the choices is murdering him. This is not a choice you should choose, but he's been left with a choice. You could not marry the daughter. You could demand satisfaction. Yeah. But the other thing is, there's a lot of nice stuff in this verse. This is what he should have said when the door was opened. You don't start by saying, hey, can I have your daughter's hand while you're still at the threshold of the door?
That's right. That was the first thing out of his mouth.
You start by saying, hey, I can't live without your daughter. I don't know if I have your approval, but whether I get it or not, we're going to the altar.
That's threatening.
We will be boys.
You don't want to say that.
So please give me your permission because we're going to do it regardless. That's better than just being so rude, dare I say it.
Yeah, but what's problematic to me about verse 2 is I agree about all of that stuff, but then the main takeaway here is it doesn't matter what you say. She's going to go wherever I go. Mm-hmm. She's going to follow me.
She'll follow me to fucking outer space.
Exactly. We're going to another galaxy together. She'll be right there, boy. Yeah. So we're going to be boys the altar.
He's basically giving him an ultimatum. He's either we're boys or I'm running away with your daughter.
And specifically, that trip is a suicide mission. We know for sure.
I've seen Apollo 13.
You're not going to get to another galaxy and return, and you probably won't get to another galaxy
alone
and survive.
You're somewhere between Neptune and Pluto when your girlfriend turns to you and is like, you asked my dad before you asked me, right?
Yeah.
You asked my dad.
Airlock is open. Uh-oh.
Leaking fuel.
I gotta go out and fix something on the tail pipe of this.
Yeah. Instantly frozen in dead.
It's pretty messed up. He's saying, I have that much of a pull on your daughter. I effed her so good last night at Hedonism 2 or Sandals, depending on one or the other.
Definitely beachside resort.
She'll follow me to the end of the earth.
Yep.
Yeah, and then of course, putting all of that aside musically, very cool.
Obviously, it's undeniable. The song rocks. The song itself rocks.
Yeah. Is Hedonism 2 a real thing? You keep talking about Hedonism 2 like it's a real thing. Is that real?
It's just a place where adults can suck and fuck and
It's sandals for singles. Sandals for singles.
I was sure you were going to say where adults can
Burning
be themselves.
Man without going to the desert.
Yeah, I guarantee it's almost all. 49-year-old men with certain expectations are really disappointed.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
I totally see these two meeting up there, though.
I want to come back to my tent.
And now it's time for a break from our sponsor, Hedonism 2, the resort where you can go.
Are you gross? Are you 49 and male?
This is kind of meta, But you were talking about how your wife knew you were going to ask her dad to ask if you could ask her to marry you. Like,
sure.
Effectively, yeah. You asked your girlfriend, can I ask your dad to ask him to marry you? Mm-hmm. Like, does his girlfriend back in bed, she's still asleep, hungover from hedonism too, does she even know that he's asking her dad? Like, really, in our Probably modern not. World, like, that should be part of the plan. Yeah. You yeah. kind of talk it through with your girlfriend and you say, like, hey, things are getting really serious. Eventually, I want to propose and, like, I'm going to talk to your dad because I know that's important to you. Is it important to you?
It's clear this that this is spur of the moment.
She doesn't even know.
Comes across as you're going to do whatever I say, so talking to you about it is not important. I'm just going to go ahead and do my thing, and you have to. Exactly.
She wanted me to ask, so I'm doing that for her.
Yeah, she probably just mentioned it like in between barfs.
I don't think she knows.
Yeah.
I don't think she even knows he's asking dad. Well, I don't even know if she's serious about him.
Yeah, no, well, she doesn't like him. She doesn't like him.
This guy's classic, like, really intense sort of man-child syndrome. Like, it has sort of some sort of, like, Shia LaBeouf energy to it, where it's like, I'm such a man-child, but, like, I'm so intensely in love with you that, you know, it's like, I don't want to know the flip side of it. You know, if they have a bad fight or something like that, I don't want to be anywhere near this guy.
It could get very rude.
He could, yeah.
Things could get rude.
His 9.7 really on the rudeness scale could get redirected from the dad to the... To the daughter.
He's just not using common sense about, like, our social norms and, you know, rules of society. He's very much is like no, you can't bring your corgi into Hot Topic. It's not because I don't like dog. Like, that's the rules of the mall. You can't bring it, sir. And he's like, what? Come on. Why you got to be so rude? Why are you being rude about my dog?
But he's probably using shroom logic. Like, this guy, like, probably just shrooms every weekend, like, goes to weird islands, and it's like, we're all just bags of meat and electricity just roaming around this planet. We have amnesia for 89 years. We should do whatever we want to do. That's why I'm in hedonism too. Right.
And you know what? He's not wrong, but that's not how we behave in society.
He's not wrong, but it's not a helpful guiding principle for your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Even your month-to-month life.
Mm-hmm. You can be a meat bag with manners.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I guarantee you the woman in this situation actually told him at one point when he was shroomed out, I want to take this really slow. I'm not sure how I feel about you. I'm actually seeing somebody else that I really like.
No, it's over.
He said, no, we're getting married.
He said, we're getting married tomorrow. I'm going to visit your father.
She's probably still seeing other people. And he's like, so dialed in.
She's like, I'm sorry. Last night when we were having sex, you called me a meat bag.
Okay, let me play this next pre-chorus because it's slightly different. I think there's a tweak here. Oh, the harmonies, guys, he's killing me. So good. Oh, it's still no. Now, because it wasn't a strict repeat, they changed the one word. That lets you know that, he did actually ask everything that was said in the second verse was still part of the same conversation. He really asked the question twice.
In
and he
the
told
M
him,
exclamation point,
listen,
CU
she
universe.
Really loves me, man. She's really going to run off to another galaxy, man. We are going to be standing at the altar, second chance. And the dad says, the answer is still no. You have not convinced me in the last 10 seconds.
Nasri just sounds great. The harmony sound amazing. I want to hear the demos he was playing for Justin Bieber in 2010. He wrote a lot of Justin Bieber's early songs after he ran into Justin Bieber and Scooter Braun in a lobby. Like, this is a guy.
What a great
This is a guy
Hollywood
who shoots
story.
His shot. He ran into them in a lobby. He met Chris Brown in a basketball game, a pickup basketball game. And both of them, he was just like, hey, I'm a songwriter. Can I play you my songs? And like, the next thing you know,
wow,
pretty badass.
I mean, when you're sitting on hot fire,
he's used to shooting his shot, but now you can't have the same attitude when you're shooting your shot with your girlfriend's dad.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, that mentality works about 50% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in certain situations, it's like, damn, this guy just walked up to me at a corn dog stand and like told me he had that hot sweet fire, and he was right. He played it for me in his car, and next thing you know, we sold a million records. But you know, asking someone to marry you with that same mentality is not going to work.
Even the corn dog guy, if you're asking for, you know, a second corn dog on the house, you know, really fiercely, it's like, well, I don't care who you are.
Hot sweet fire, please give me a corn dog.
Right. Yeah. I don't care how good the song is. I'm giving you one corn dog for the price of one corn dog.
Check out this song, commercial Rihanna. Can I have a free corn dog?
Or just like, I'm protecting you for your own sake. One corn dog is enough a day.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Even as the corn dog man, I know that.
Yeah, you hit the quota.
These corn dogs are not good. And I'm the corn dog vendor. You should not.
I know what's in these corn dogs, my friend.
I made them.
You should take your hot fire elsewhere.
Last week.
The answer I also will say, the dad in this pre-course is actually being less rude. In the first one, he's saying, over my dead body, you're marrying my daughter. And then he asks him again. He gives him all these explanations. The dad goes, the answer is still no.
So, calm, collect.
Yep.
Straightforward.
Yeah. Being a nice waspy 55-year-old man. He's even keeled.
Oh, yeah.
You,
this
you have litigated your case.
He wants the best for his daughter.
Mm. I like this guy.
Yeah.
Like
I want dad. The best he's for my daughter.
You want the best for your daughter? Don't you know I'm human? So don't you know I'm human?
God. What about me?
This is about me. Anyway.
Anyway, fuck you.
I asked you a very high stakes question. This is about my feelings.
Okay, we've got a little breakdown here. This same interlude, and I think we're going to get a little guitar solo here.
Man, you know he's from the pop writing world when you get a family rhymed as family.
Family.
We'll be a family. Yeah. You're like, this is a guy who's written pop songs.
Okay, this is the one musical thing about this song I truly hate. The guitar solo sucks. Yeah, listen to this.
It's fine. It's fine. Fine for college radio.
No, I've got to pause it.
No. That guitar solo stunk, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, it quoted the melody too. It's like you have an opportunity to do something cool, right?
Yeah,
I don't mind that as much as the other stuff. There was like four lines, and the third line was the melody, and then I feel like all the other ones were basically him just being like, "Is the guitar on?"
Well, that's the thing. It's like either do the melody, like just do it, like Weezer style,
right?
Or don't meander.
Yeah, you know? Give us something catchy too. Like I can't sing you back that guitar solo. I just heard it.
No.
I think part of it was literally. It's like is my string in tune? It's like him checking.
I can sing you every Guns N' Roses guitar solo note for note.
Yes, and because they're all
of the melody.
Pure melodies that stand on their own, right? Like, I think it feels to me like they just did the demo version, then they forgot to go back and do it. Like they told the guitar player that he was going to have 32 bars, but then he only had 4. Mm-hmm. Because of the top 40, and he was just warming up. Like he was just stepping up to the mic, going like, "Okay, let me get the fingers warmed up." Boop, boop, boop.
And that's why you can hear very faintly in the background. Oh, I guess we're done.
Yeah.
don't you think that it's just like him, like really trying to lean into an impression of reggae and being like, "What is reggae music?"
Reggae guitar, right? Like, and
they
kind of
they do palm mutes, right? And they do short notes, right? Oh, the solo's over. That was reggae, right?
It's reggae.
Wah-wah, I heard a lot of that reggae.
Done in hedonism.
And guess what? As soon as the solo's over, it gets back to the pre, and everyone's like, "Yeah, here we are again." They love
you're
it.
Right.
It
yeah, matter. they just had to get out quickly. We're back to the pre.
Kind of a country.
This is the breakdown
pre-chorus.
They took the band out. This is the breakdown part.
Has there ever been another love song between a man and his potential
between man and
his
prospective father-in-law?
Is there any other song?
I can't think of
how many son-father love songs are there? Cat's Cradle is father-son, not father-in-law-son. It's close.
Guess. Yeah, it's close.
Something
that's
about a
close.
Father in it.
I mean, that's a rude dad. I think we can all agree the Cat's Cradle dad is rude.
Yeah, that's a rude dad. That's not a nice dad. Yeah.
We're just riding the repeats out here all the way to the end. They just had to get back to the chorus. There's that little breakdown. They break it down on the pre-chorus, take out the band, just delete the bands for that sort of feelsy pre-chorus, and then you're just into a repeat of the hook to the end of the song.
And then they use the post-chorus drum beat over the chorus.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Was a
yes,
cool move.
Yeah,
that is
yeah,
a cool
good
move.
Call.
But I guess what's bothering me now, listening to it, tell me if it bothers you guys. It's really just this moment. It's really not a story song. Like, there's a story in the first verse where it's like, I'm going to ask this guy. Here's my presentation. He tells me no. From that point on, the story is over. It's really just that moment, that conversation.
It's just the one scene.
And it's a repeat.
It's just
the
one scene.
Yeah, like in a country pop song with like straightforward story, you would assume like, oh, okay, but we're going to find out. It wraps up. Yeah,
Earl,
like,
Earl had to die.
Yeah.
Or they caught a red eye. They caught a red eye flight.
Caught a red eye flight
to
from Atlanta.
France.
Or you'd get a heartfelt father-daughter song. Yes,
they're leaving,
like, in
if
the
they're
country
flying out of Atlanta, that's probably a Delta flight. It's probably a Delta. That's a Delta God. Hub.
So we got Andrew started on the FAA bit.
You get him on airport. Jesus Christ. Look out.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like it's missing a verse where the daughter and the father have a moment, and she's like, I love him.
We didn't get the daughter's perspective.
Where's
once,
the daughter?
In the video, they try to add to this story by cutting away to a different scene that's taking place maybe contemporaneously or later or something to paint the dad as worse. Because in that other scene, he invites over some other man that we're definitely supposed to read as being an annoying bully. And the father has invited this other guy over, like, I like this one. Bring this guy.
Bizarre.
Bring this guy to dinner. Right. And Nasri shows up to interrupt the dinner and run away with the daughter. And the elopement happens during that other sort of fix-up.
So that's
date.
In the video, but in the song, there's like...
None of that.
Eric, you've spoken like directly to the heart of what is the weirdest part about the song, which is a song about Nasri being in love with the daughter, but it's just him talking to the dad, and the daughter is just absent.
Mm-hmm.
He's Let the men handle this.
Yeah.
We have no evidence that the relationship is good.
It's not big. If anything, it's horrible.
We don't know anything about that.
Chauvinistic and controlling.
It's like big feudal dowry energy. You know, it's like...
Okay, can I have her for a couple chickens? I have a sheep.
No still means no.
You have a farm.
Yeah. Like, our acres are adjacent.
Right.
And if they were combined,
our family
we could till an even larger
together.
Field.
Yeah, wake up, magic, !!
Too traditional.
You're too traditional.
We've reached the end of the song. We know... probably everything there is to know in the world about the band, because there is no record in music journalism that the band even exists anymore.
Yeah, except we don't know why the drummer left. We don't know anything about their third album because no one wrote a Wikipedia article. I could be bothered to write a Wikipedia article. So you're right. We know everything we could know
that is knowable,
and we know, and we've talked the song up and down. I think we figured out that Nasri is ruder than the dad.
For sure.
It's pretty notable.
First one, we knew that, I think.
1000%.
Yeah. So I think Evan and I have enough to go away for a while and punch this song up, thanks to your guys' incisive insights.
Okay, we're back. Andrew, let's talk about what we did. There really was just so many problems with the story of the song.
First of all, not enough story. You know, we're talking about, for unrelated reasons, I won't mention why, but we're talking about one of the greatest story songs of the 21st century, Earl Had to Die, earlier in the episode. You know, every line in that song is moving the story along.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Wolves of Glendale pointed out, the story is pretty much done once you get to the first chorus of Brood.
It's only a single moment. You know,
we need to move the story along more. And I think we decided to be more honest about who was being rude here.
Yeah. Always such a valuable punch-up when you make a song more honest about what's going on. Just get the truth out front. Let's be vulnerable with each other. Let's tell the truth. Take a listen.
Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Still buzzed at the time. Slammed on the
Let's be real.
Did 90 cross town. Cause I made up my mind. Knocked at the door, then texted and called to get you out of bed. Surprised you weren't up, cause you're an old dork. On God.
On God.
I want your daughter for the rest of my life. She's blessed to score such a catch. You say it's 6 a.m. You're in my yard with no pants. Tough luck, my friend. You're too much of an ass. Why you gotta drop such truth? Got some soul searching to do. Got me coming all unglued. Kinda scary, I'm unaware. Found me so unaware. I really needed this.
This is the key right here. Just we need to be learning some lessons while this is going down.
Why you gotta drop such truth?
Man, great ball.
Yeah.
Super unaware.
You showed up on Christmas.
Dad gets a verse. Down drunk,
mixing rum and OJ. You bullied a six-year-old over a game. A monopoly.
The A rhyme.
The last munchkin. Which is fine, but then you lied. Signature move of a shithead. I wanted to like you, I really tried. Can you have my daughter for the rest of her life? She's majoring in feminist studies, don't you know? So why are we even having this convo? Your question itself is truly gauche.
Gauche.
Why you gotta be so vain? Do you even know her little name?
Yes.
Does her head not mind to give away? Scary your head's that far up your ass. That's so far up your ass. Scary your head. Even thought that you had a chance. Scary your head. Thought that I was the one to ask. Why you gotta be so vain?
Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? What is this shit? Feudal fucking France. You're so blind, you're just a rebound guy. You bought me a frosty and called it romance. Why you gotta be a dude? Patriarchal attitude. Why you gotta be so rude? I got a new girlfriend anyway. Met her at school.
The girlfriend gets a verse. You gotta hear from the girlfriend.
Lay off my dad. So many red flags.
Why you gotta drop such truth?
Mm.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Very good.
That's it. Oh, thank you guys.
Incredible.
Thank you. Mm. You need to hear from the dad and the girlfriend to get the much full more, story.
It's a healthy balanced breakfast of a song there. Now we got everybody.
And you deleted the guitar solo.
Genius.
Yes, right out.
The guitar solo is right out. The most phoned in guitar solo I've seen.
Move number one.
Cut it out.
Cut the fat. No, that was awesome. Yeah, I love both additional characters here. I love hearing from the dad. I love hearing from the girlfriend. This guy's just clearly a big prick.
Age the last munchkin. What a that's just a shithead move.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to eat the last munchkin, so you can't be mad at the person who, you know, somebody ate the second to last munchkin, right? So then you arrive, the last one's the only one there. You may eat the last munchkin, but you don't lie about it and say it wasn't me. Yeah,
you should probably announce it. Just
anybody else want a munchkin before I eat this one?
Put your hands out. Hey, I know I'm the new guy. I know I'm the new guy, but I guess I'm eating the last munchkin. Just own it. You know?
If that's okay. I don't know.
I'm going to do it anyway.
It's Canadian Thanksgiving. That's sometime in October, November. I'm not sure when.
You're saying this all out loud at the munchkin.
Yeah.
Oh, Canadian. And the dad goes, I like this guy.
I like the cut of this guy's jib.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this guy came to Canadian Christmas and he took all the Tim Hortons donut holes, but he didn't lie about it. You're welcome here anytime.
I mean, also, the guy is signaling that he understands he screwed up here. You know, he's saying...
That's just such a major missed opportunity
from
the original
song. He's saying, I'm
going
to walk away from this and I'm gonna do some thinking. Yeah. When Evan and I were working on this, I was talking to Evan... That Evan and I have a fundamental disagreement about honking, that I know Evan is right about honking in traffic.
Okay, yeah.
And somehow this came up, we're working on this, where when I honk at someone in traffic, it's like partially out of anger, but it's partially out of like, hey man, maybe the next time you're in that same situation, you should do something else. Which is like absolutely unreal. Absolutely impossible that that person is going to be like, huh, that person honking at me had a pretty good point. And the next time I'm merging, I'm going to do it a little differently. Like, Evan is 100% right. But in this song, I was kind of like, this guy's getting honked at, and I want him to be like my imaginary fantasy driver who gets honked at when I honk at them, who's just like, I did merge improperly. I'm going to do that better next time.
Yep. That should have been his reaction. Like, this song... This is like idealistic, which is beautiful. Right. It's this guy going, damn, that's you really analyzed me really quick, and I got to take a look in the mirror and see what's going on with me.
I respect you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even though the girlfriend has moved on, I feel like if he really does that soul searching, I feel like he and the dad could still have a beautiful friendship, maybe like a mentorship. Oh, yeah. I mean, the dad lives in a really nice house, as we've seen. Maybe he could get a job with him.
In this version, the family has a chance to heal. Oh. The original version is just a rift. It's estrangement forever. We fix that. We're doing family therapy with this song.
Well done, boys.
We punched up the jam.
Well fucking done.
Thank you. We're going to declare this song has been punched up. Wow. Feels good. We've come to a time in our show in which we get to share some songs that maybe you actually sincerely like and want to tell the audience about. And I want to ask you, what is your walking in music? And I want to ask our guests. I mean, we'll go first. There's so many dudes. Song. Yeah. That's our parody of Walking in Memphis called Walking Music. So we'll go first, and we'll just we'll do one for our side. You guys can do one for your side because there's so many dudes in this Zoom. We'll never go home if we each bring a song.
Yeah.
Andrew, what's our scenario?
Okay, my scenario. I have this on the brain because I was walking. Okay, my scenario. I have this on the brain because I was talking about this an episode or two ago. I think with Riley, and it just really brought up a lot of sense memories for me. I'm walking down the hallway in Bell Heath Elementary School, the old part of it with like the dark brown tiles.
The old 50s part.
I'm crossing the threshold and the light brown tiles, the 80s part, and I'm turning left into the computer lab. This song drops. I sit down my 1980s Apple computer and I double click on a little program called Oregon Trail.
Walk-in music to playing a childhood video game. This is beautiful.
Yeah, and this is going to be the first and only time I ever beat Oregon Trail. I never beat it, I don't think. But with today's this song, I'll have to...
You got dysentery too many times?
Yeah. Well, I had a different problem. Many rivers to cross. It was the rivers. It was the rivers that always did me in.
You always try to ford it.
And with the power of Jimmy Cliff behind me, the power of this just absolutely slamming reggae mega hit. Do I cock my wagon? I'm not sure, but I'm going to get across the river.
It's just so beautiful. Listen to that vocal. And it's perfectly delivered. You wouldn't listen to this song cold and say that's a reggae song. This is like a ballad from a famous reggae artist. But I love that as a jumping off point, you took us out of bro reggae by magic exclamation point and into...
Yeah. I wanted to travel from Toronto to the Caribbean and listen to some, I guess, a reggae-inflected ballad by one of the reggae greats, Jimmy Cliff.
Many Rivers to Cross by Jimmy Cliff. It's poignant. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
I'd walk into anything. I'd walk into anything to that.
It's really... Oh, I love that song.
I'm crying.
Okay. My Collective Wolves. What's your scenario this week?
Our scenario is pretty similar. It's about a drug dealer who... it's us as one guy. So it's like our collective person.
You're selling in this scene?
Yeah, we're selling, and it's H.
Make no bones about it.
It's a spooky Brooklyn alley, and it's we're selling H. It's Heron.
Okay, yeah, this is triggering. Yeah.
Yep. And wouldn't you know it, the guy we're selling to is undercover.
You hate to see it.
Depends on whose side you're on. Maybe
bills.
He gave us some marked bills.
Yeah, he showed up and said,
"How do you do, fellow kids?"
Yeah, that's correct. We were like, "That's a little suspicious,"
a lot like Steve Buscemi.
I gotta move this H, and you know, as many of these big deals do, goes bad.
South. Oh, I hate to hear it.
No. Yeah,
Ono is right. Go south quick.
Yeah. And an FBI sniper takes his takes his shot.
Yeah. To be clear, it's not the undercover cop that shoots us. Nope. It's an FBI sniper on a roof across the street.
Wow.
Yeah.
So whatever you guys are doing.
Did the cop know he was there? Is it one of those situations where they're like, "Get off my turf. This was my case." Is it one of those situations or were they cooperating?
That's correct. They didn't communicate properly and the cop in the alley thought he was going to make a huge sale.
Does the FBI agent also shoot the cop because he doesn't know the cop is undercover?
Yeah, it was a massacre.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow. One of them was FBI, one of them was CIA, and they weren't aware that each other were working on the case.
Had not been communicating properly, which happens so many times in law enforcement.
Because the H is coming from across the border, so the CIA is involved.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yes. Yes.
And this is on Red Hook, Brooklyn, down by the docks.
Right.
Yes, so they can bring it in by boat.
Sure. Yeah, right. It's a customs issue, too.
And so our character, the lone wolf, if you will, gets just riddled with bullets. And as he perishes in the undercover man's torso, we hear this beautiful song.
Oh, it's kind of a JFK situation where the sniper shoots one bullet, but your wolf is riddled with bullets.
Yeah, it can go through.
He's riddled, with bullets. Sound like he just got shot.
Oh.
Must have been something. All the more poignant because the cop is dying too, shot by the CIA.
I love a literal walk-in song that's just, it's about dying and you're dying.
Yeah. And it was about something he said, because he accidentally said the code word that the CIA was waiting for, which was
Nutella. That was it.
Yeah.
Must have been something you said, which was shoot him.
Plot twist. The Port Authority cops show up because you're in Red Hook, but they're mobbed up. The Port Authority cops, they wrap the CIA guy and the FBI
they're
guy
on your side
in chains, just drop them in the river.
Oh, wow.
There's a million cops. It's a
no
mess.
Paper, don't no paper record that this ever even
every
happened.
Every bureau is present in this story.
All the cops are shooting each other.
Yeah.
This song is so good. I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight by Cutting Crew.
I never could have guessed.
Would never have guessed the name of the band.
Of Cutting Crew.
But once the 80s beat kicks in, a big beefy snare, it actually makes it a little bit romantic, and I feel like maybe you're dying, and also maybe he like plants one on you. Just you know, they have a lot of regrets.
They're both dying.
They're both on their way out, so they say, "This is all we got left. Let's
make out.
Let's make out.
Let's see what happens."
Yeah.
You want to go out with a little bit of tongue.
Yeah,
absolute.
You should have walked away from the deal.
Should have walked away from the deal.
Yes.
You should have known that the guy was a little sketch.
He should have walked away.
Taking his age elsewhere,
but
like
he needed,
it was cool.
He needed the money to put his kid through college.
Thank you for this. This is a brilliantly literal take on this song. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
But when,
thank you.
Whenever,
I guess we are brilliant.
We know.
Always risky to be dealing your age within a mile radius of the Tesla dealership, though. The cops are always trying to keep the area around the Tesla dealership there in Red Hook clean.
You know,
They keep it locked down tight.
They know which side of their pocket the bread is buttered on.
Oh, that's a lot of payola down there.
I don't know if we've had a walk-in scenario end in death before.
Really?
Have we had anyone die?
I don't know. I think
we've had some.
I think we had a few deaths.
Yeah, we had a few deaths.
People people want to soundtrack their own deaths for sure.
People love death.
Maybe they didn't die. Maybe the ambulance comes. You don't know. You have to check out the sequel.
Hedonism Part 2 was in this episode. Next time around, we've got to get to Hedonism 3, which is
Rise of the Machines.
Rise of
Hedonism 2 Judgment Day.
Guys, I want to make sure that before we close the show, we have sufficiently plugged everybody into what's happening in the world of the Glendale Wolves. Wolves of Glendale is their Instagram, which you can find all the info out about these guys. And I implore you to go check out some of their songs that are, well, currently you can see them on Instagram for sure, but also on YouTube. And we've got a scoop on this show, which is that you've just leaked that your lead single is going to be Olivia.
Yes.
Is that right?
I think that's the first time we've said that.
Yeah, we have not mentioned that anywhere except here.
Oh, we'd love to get a scoop on this show.
Wow, our first scoop.
Wow.
You can follow us on Instagram at Punch Up The Jam. You can follow us on Twitter. And you can listen to the Punch Up from this week on our Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/GregoryBrothers, every single Punch Up we've done in our run is up there. And it's the best deal on the internet. You can get them all for $2 and then just run away, not even pay for a second month, just screw us over. Don't do that, please, but you could.
You could abuse the system for sure, because the archive of punch-ups is there, and you can sneak in for a couple of bucks and just go on a download spree. But the real reason to
be...
It would be very rude.
Let's punch it. Punch up the jam, punch it up. Who are you? Punch up the jam, punch it up. Punch it, punch it, punch it.
punch it, punch up the jam, punch it up, get the party going, punch it, punch up the jam, punch it up, punch it. That was a HeadGum original.